Welcome to the June 9th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Lovell Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Philippians chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, and the sermon is entitled, The Sincere Church, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
We are going to open God's Word. This is the moment that we center down on God's Word and allow it to speak to us. My prayer throughout this week is that God would use my voice to bring His Word to you, and it also has spoken to me throughout the week. So currently we're in a study called the GE Power Company Study. It is a journey through four books of the Bible, GE Power Company, GEPC, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. We are just beginning the third book of that series, in that we have now started into the book of Philippians, and we're still in chapter 1 there. But as we begin, I want you to remind you once again, this is a letter that Paul wrote to a church that he loved in the city of Philippi. The city of Philippi was the first city to have a church on the European continent. So it's a very, very important church, in that this is the establishment of the Christian faith on a brand new continent of people. Also, we know that this church was very important to Paul. Paul loved the church at Philippi. Perhaps this church was the closest church to his heart. From the language that we see, he dearly loved the church at Philippi. He founded the church as a missionary, and I believe that he loved it, prayed for it daily, thought about those believers in that church every single day, even when he was in prison confinement in Rome as he wrote this letter, the year somewhere around 60 to 62 AD. But I understand the emotion of this being one of Paul's, perhaps Paul's very favorite church. I understand that. I think about the 24 years of my life before I came to this community, and how much I love the church in which I grew up, Linden Heights Baptist Church in Stanton. I also consider the latter years of my life, my future days, what might happen in those days, I do not know. It's totally under God's leading. But I know this. From 1982 until today, this church has not only been a part of my life, this church has been the love of my life. And I speak for Gwen as well. This church is the love of our life. And I can promise you this, no matter where God might take us in the latter days of ministry, this will always be our favorite congregation in the world. Because God has instilled that love in us for you, and we're so thankful that He allows us to be among you as a family and part of the leadership of the church. Clifford Baptist Church is my Philippi. Just as Paul loved Philippi, I love this church. With that in mind today, we're going to study Philippians chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. As Paul writes this letter, he is in prison, he is in Rome, he is arrested, he is confined as a preacher of the gospel. As this letter opens, Paul is greeting his church family. He offers them grace and peace, and then he thanks the church members for their partnership in the gospel, that they are with him in the gospel. Even though they're not together physically, they absolutely are together in spirit, together in heart, together in love. So we're going to see these words of the opening of Paul's letter to a church that he dearly loves. Philippians chapter 1, go to verse 6. Hear these words of God's inspired, holy, inerrant word. Paul writes this. Again, remembering this is to a church, a congregation of people, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory of and praise of God. May God add His blessing to the reading of these few verses of His Holy Scripture. Verse 6 is a great verse. It is a verse of hope. It is a verse of assurance for anyone and any church who serves the Lord. This is one of Gwen's life's verses. I learned that early on when we got married, that this was one of the most important verses that spoke to her life about the Lord beginning a work in her and completing that work in her and in us. This is an underline, star it, dog-ear the page verse. You need to keep Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 in your mind, in your heart. Paul is saying that God had begun a great work of ministry in the Philippian church. Let's look at it one more time just to get the context of it. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Paul says God had begun a work in the Philippian church. The church was not that old. Yet Paul can look at that church knowing that they have a great future ahead of them as they follow Jesus Christ, the first church of a new continent. A church with the opportunity and the ability to share Christ with a continent of people. And he says, God has already begun a good work in you. But you remember, church at Philippi, that God will carry you through every day of that work. If God begins a good work, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to finish his work. That's his promise. That's his holy will. That's true for this church. As he has begun a good work in us, he began the work in 1909. So he is continuing to carry through a work that he started in the early part of 1900. And he is continuing to carry us now well past our 100-year mark, carrying us on into the future. And I want you to hear these words and be assured of this promise that God's word makes to us. And that is this: if God begins a work in us, Scripture says he will never lose interest in us. He will never withhold his resources from us. We're always under his protection. We're always under his guidance. We're always under his direction in what we are to be doing for him. His power will never be withdrawn from his church. If he started us, if he founded us, he will continue to carry us every single day. With God on our side, we do not have to worry about going spiritually bankrupt. With God on our side, we will never have to worry about going without his provision or his protection. Friends, this Bible verse teaches us that God is our encourager. The Lord God is our strengthener. The Lord God is our cheerleader as we go forward in being his church. As we're filled with the love of Jesus Christ, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God in us, that we're going to follow in the Lord's footsteps, and he will carry us every single day. And yet, isn't it a sad fact that while that truth applies to every church of Jesus Christ on earth, isn't it sad to know that 5,000 to 6,000 churches close every year in the United States of America? Now, at the heels of that kind of promise, why is that? How can churches close when we hear a promise like that, that God is our cheerleader, that God is our encourager, that he is our protector? Well, let me say this to you. It is not that God has ever lost interest in any church that belongs to him. God has never lost interest in any church, or that he has chosen to pump more resources into other churches rather than this one church. That is not the case. I believe the key is this. We, his people, need to keep our eyes on him. It is our desire, it is our duty, it is our commission to keep our eyes and our lives on him, surrender to him in all of his leading, in all that he chooses to do with us and for us and through us. We have to keep our knee bowed to him in surrender. We have to say, Lord, wherever you lead us, we will be faithful to go. It is not our will to be done here. It is your will to be done, and we will follow your will above everything else in life. Whatever resource, Lord, you provide for us, we will use. Whatever you give us in the way of talented people, in the way of the resources that you give us materially. We will use them. We will be faithful to you in that. We will never waste a penny. We will never waste anyone who wants to do ministry. We will be faithful to you as you are faithful to us. His promise is that he will never lose interest in us. Our promise is that we will always keep our eyes on him. Amen? For every one of us, our heart has to be in the right place. And our desire throughout the congregation is to follow and to live for and to serve and to worship and to honor Jesus Christ. So here's a key question that every single one of us needs to answer. This is not just for church leadership. This is not just for the pastor or the deacon or a committee member. This is for every single one of us. If the entire church supported Sunday school like I support Sunday school, if the entire church came to worship as often as I come to worship, if the entire church worked in ministry like I work in ministry, if the entire church prayed like I pray, would the church live a vibrant, passionate life going forward? Or would we limp? Or would the doors close? If all the church were composed of people just exactly like me, where would the church's life be? Really, that question is being posed to us in this little letter to the Philippians, because Paul says, I'm writing to all the church. I'm writing to every single part, every member of the church, not just to the leadership, but to all of you. Are all of you centered on Jesus Christ? Are all of you bowing your knee to him and following him? You have to be united in that desire. Every single one of us determines the strength and the ministry of the church. God is more than willing to do his part. The question is, am I willing to do mine? Are you willing to do yours so that the church will live and grow and reach out with Christ? Notice that Paul says that God will keep on working in his church until the day of Jesus Christ. God's intention is for Clifford Baptist Church and the church which you're serving, if you're hearing this on radio, God's intention for the church is that we will be working until Jesus comes to get us. Until the rapture of the church comes, we should be ready and willing to minister. As many other sections of the Bible says, when the Lord God comes, will he find us at work? Will he find us busy at his will? Will we be following in the footsteps of Christ? You know, if you look over the general timeline of the Bible, you're going to see basic periods of time blocked out. Some theologians call these dispensations of time. In the Old Testament days, you see patriarchs following God. We see judges and kings following and sometimes failing God. We hear the Old Testament prophets speaking the word of God on God's behalf. The prophet speaks to the nation. Those days are before the days that Jesus Christ came to walk among us. We're not in those days any longer. The Old Testament day is gone now. It's a time period that has passed us by. Another time period that is described very well, especially in Revelation, also in Daniel, we read about the days of the Great Tribulation, the days of the millennium, when Jesus Christ will literally reign on earth for 1,000 years. We've not come to those days yet. We've not come to the day of the Great Tribulation, which I believe the rapture of the church will precede that day. No, we're not there yet. Another time period in the Bible are the days of heaven, the days of eternity. We see them opening up as we close out the book of Revelation. We're not there yet. Today, in God's grand scale of time, we're in the day of Jesus Christ. We're in the day of the church. We're in the day of the gospel where we reach out to a lost and dying world with the good news that there is a Savior who died on a cross for us and rose from the grave for us that we might have life everlasting. And that invitation is to be extended to every living soul on earth. We're in the day of the church. We're in the day of the gospel. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ established his church as the outreach arm into the world. We are his representative. We are his people to reach the world. And this day, according to John 14, 6, it says that no man will come to the Father but by Jesus. Today, in this moment, the doors of heaven are wide open. The invitation to Jesus is wide open for any soul who will hear it. And we, the church, are commanded to preach it and teach it and live it and give it so others can come to Christ as Savior. So we're living in the church age. We're living today as Jesus' witnesses. And Paul promises that as long as Jesus leaves his church on earth, we represent his name. We are his people. We are his representatives. We are his witnesses in this world. So that means, ladies and gentlemen, for you and for me, if you're a believer, if we're believers in the Lord Jesus, that when we walk outside of these doors, our time of worship has only begun in that we are now commissioned to go out with the good news into the world. And we are the sermon that works, that walks out there and works the love of Christ out there. We are his people. You might not know this. There may be a few people here who do not know this fact today, and it deserves to be repeated from time to time that we be reminded of this. There was a day in the history of Clifford Baptist Church when these doors almost closed themselves. And in those days, the church was in a very lean time, a very poor time, a time of a dwindling congregation, but by the determination of a precious few people, and by the amazing grace of God Almighty, he brought them through that day, and look where we are this day. Never forget that God is our protector, that the Lord God Almighty is our leader, and he pours the resources into us as we need them. I want you to look at verse 7, Philippians 1, 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now, the King James Version says, it is meet for me to think of you. That's simply an old English word that means right. It is right for me to think of you because I love you there in Philippi. And Paul is implying here, even while I am in these shackles in Rome, even while I'm in prison here, we are partakers and we are partners in the same gospel. Yes, we are divided by a continent. Yes, we're divided by miles. Yes, we're not able to physically be together, but our hearts are together. And we are partakers and witnesses of the same gospel. And we're to share it wherever God leads us to be. Paul is reiterating that the church is a family. That there's a connection among us. That connection of the Holy Spirit. That connection of love that brings us together. We are given leading and power by the very presence of Jesus among us. But we're bound together by his love and by his grace. By the fact that we've been saved by the same Lord, by the same cross. So the church is not a collection of strangers. The church is not a performance. We are not here today to be entertained. Do you understand? You know, our entire society is based on entertainment anymore. TV is based on entertainment. When you sit down there, you go to be entertained. When you go to a movie, you go to be entertained. Go to a concert, you go to be entertained. You don't come to church to be entertained. You come to church to be challenged. You come to church to hear the Word of God, to hear how He challenges you and me to grow in Him, how He challenges us to go for Him. We're not here today for a show. We're here because this is the central place of love and ministry and mission, and we are commissioned together to take it to the world. This is a place where truly you and I do get something. We get fed on the Word of God. If you do not get fed on the Word of God, the church has miserably failed its purpose to the congregation. I want you to get fed on the Word of God. We get the fellowship of the saints together. And I believe collectively we get blessing throughout the week because we're here this morning. We get so much by coming to church. But listen, we also come to give. We come to get, But so many people think church is nothing more than a get institution. I come to get fed. I come to get what I need. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that not only do we come to get, but we come to give. And we can't forget that. That there's two sides of the reason that we worship together. We come to give our energy. We come to give our talent. We come and surrender to give our ministry to the Lord Jesus Christ, however He calls us to do that. We come to give of ourselves to others. We leave these doors to give Christ to a lost and dying world, and you've crossed paths with so many of them this week. You will cross paths with people I will never meet this week. You know people I do not know. All of us are commissioned to give Jesus Christ to this world this week. Just in the way that we live, just in the way that we communicate, and sometimes He even opens the door that we might speak His name and speak His word and lead someone to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Remember, as we leave this place, we came to get something, but we're leaving through those doors to give something this week. How important it is for us to keep that balance in mind. All right, go to verse 8. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. What in the world does that mean? Well, let me read it to you in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. In Paul's day, the bowels, the Greek word is splankna. I love that word, splankna. But the bowels were known or considered as the seat of our emotions, the seat of our affections. And I can bear witness that that's true. You know, when I have a good relationship with someone or perhaps I do something that is considered good by someone, I get this warm feeling. And it doesn't warm my brain. It warms me here. It warms you in this seat of your affections, in your insides, from your heart. And your entrails, you feel warm that you've done something to help someone. I also know that when I get nervous and upset, I can deal with it in my head, but my splankna get all out of whack. So Paul is saying, I feel love for you, Philippi. I feel love for you here. I feel a warmth from you for you here. I love you the way Jesus loves you. And the warmth of the love that I have for you will never subside. You're always in my heart. You're always in my life. That love is the bond and the tie that brings us together. My prayer is that when you get out of your car on Sunday morning, there's a warmth that begins filling on the inside that you're coming to family. And today, if you're a first-time visitor, I want you to know that you are part of the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to leave with that warmth in you. That you have not just visited a congregation and you've been on the fringe. We want you to be inside it and a part of it and feel that warmth that Paul is speaking about here. The church is not a business that operates on a bottom line of money and profits and buildings. We're founded by the love of Jesus and a love for everyone inside each other. It's important that we experience those kinds of love. We want to be here with each other, and that's just what church is about. We love being with each other. It gives us that warmth that Paul said he felt. Look at verses 9 and the first part of 10. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. When our love for Christ and our love for the fellowship of believers grows, so will our love for this word. So will our love be to take Jesus to this world because we want others to have the joy that we have. That we've experienced something that can never be experienced outside of the church. Friends, the church is so important. The church is such a great family. I can't imagine, especially believers who don't want to be a part of that. Paul says It's one of the most important connections of our life. I want you to notice at the end of verse 9, Paul says, our judgment will increase. Now, there are many words and meanings for the word judgment in the Bible. The Greek word here is aisthesis. And it means our perception and our discernment will increase. What Paul is saying here is that our ability to see other people the way God sees them will increase. Our discernment. We will be able to see that person in need. We will be able to see that person we need to reach out to with the gospel of Christ. That's a form of judgment. I've had a lot of people who have said, I can't judge other people. That's what the Bible says. Do not judge. Well, that's one form of the word. Basically, that's right. We leave that form of judgment to God Almighty. That's a heaven or hell judgment. We don't judge in that way. But this is a judgment of discernment where we can reach out through the Spirit of God in us and through the Spirit of Christ in us to know where people have need. And Paul said that sense of judgment and discernment needs to grow in us, and it will as a part of the church. Then look at the last two verses, 10 and 11. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Paul says as a church, we are to have a good reputation. We're to be known in our community and in this world as a people who are pure and a people who are sincere about what we're doing. I love the word sincere. It has a great word picture behind it. It can be translated pure. It can be translated with wax or without wax. Let me tell you why. When a dishonest Roman salesperson had a statue or a vase with a crack in it, while he had it for sale on the public forum, in order to make that vase or that statue look perfect, he would take wax and he'd seal up the crack so it could not be seen. But once the buyer got it home and the wax melted or it fell out over time, they realized they'd been duped because it wasn't a perfect article. The seller was not sincere. Paul says the church has to be pure and sincere and honest and upstanding in all things. I call us to that. There should be nothing fake about us. But our goal as a church, as it says in verse 11, that as we live sincerely, God will fill us with the fruits of righteousness, that the love of Christ will be known in us and through us to those who need Him. Of course, the fruits of righteousness are not listed here. They are listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I'm at the end of the sermon. I want to ask you two simple questions that determine the wellness of this church body or the church body of which you're a part. Question number one, do we truly love Jesus? I'm not speaking about love in word only. I'm asking, do we love Him enough that we have laid our life before Him and say, Lord, use me as you see fit. Take me where you want me to be. Wherever you lead, I will go. Whatever you ask me to do, I am surrendered to that, Lord, because I love you and I trust you. And you created me as to who I am, and you have given me talent to serve you. Call me, Lord. I am surrendered to you. Do you really love Him? Not in word only, but do you love Him with your life? Have you laid your life down for Him? And the second question that determines the wellness of the church is this. Do we love each other? Do we strive to love each other? Do we strive to love each other so that we work together in ministry? So that we strive together to take the gospel into the world? If we say yes to those two questions, it sets us on God's path to blessing and outreach and multiplication of people being saved. Because we'll have the right heart before Him. And that's what He's seeking through us. I do pray that we are a sincere, pure body of Christ. Personally, I pray that you and I can say, Lord, I don't have any desire to be fake. I don't have any desire to come into church with a painted-on face. I don't have any desire to be part-time. I don't have any desire to be non-committal. I don't have any desire to sidestep that church job that I know belongs to me so that somebody else will take it. There's no partial commitment for me, Lord. I am totally yours, totally surrendered, and I want to serve you. I pray all of us will make that commitment to a Savior who gave His all for us, even to the point of a cross. He deserves us to give our all to Him. God will pour out blessing from the windows of heaven upon the church that will make that commitment to Him. One last thing. If today you're here, or you're going to listen to this sermon one day on media or radio, and you've never come to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, first of all, thank you for listening through the entirety of the service. But I must ask you the question, do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you do not, there is a standing invitation at His heart for you. He died on a cross with your life on His heart and His mind. He shed His blood to forgive you of sin. He took your place. He took my place on the cross. All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God, and every one of us needed the cross. He was punished for you and me there. But He didn't just die for our sin. He rose for our eternal life. And He simply commissions the church, and praise God, I will never understand it, why He gave me this supreme invitation to extend these words to those who need them. And I think any pastor feels that. What a blessing to share an invitation from Jesus. He's waiting for you to come to Him, to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Church, home, whatever you need, He's waiting for us. Let's pray together. Our Father, our God, as we close this service today, thank You for Your love in our lives. Father, thank You that this is a very, very important moment coming now, that people can make decisions about their surrender to You. Maybe a believer, long-time believer, who says, Lord, I need to step up my surrender, my commitment to You. I rededicate my life to that. Maybe they want to come today. Maybe there's someone here today who needs a church home. Maybe there's someone here today, most importantly, who needs Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is the moment that changes their eternity. Let nothing stand between this invitation and their stepping out into that aisle and coming to this altar, or coming upstairs to the altar upstairs saying, I need Jesus. I give my heart to Him. Bless us, Lord, in this very important moment. I pray, as we, Your people, want to be the pure, sincere church of offering Jesus to those who need Him. It's in His name we pray.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.